Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks. This is the big show. You found it amongst the millions and millions of podcasts out there, and I sure am glad you did. Today's a pre-record. We do that sometimes when our guest is in Europe or Asia or someplace outside the North American continent. The time differences and whatnot are just, it's very difficult to do. So we pre-record it via Skype. And it goes pretty well for us. We like doing that. It works out pretty nice. Today is very cool because I sat down with a very good friend of mine, Mr. Neil Fitzsimon of Fitzsimon and Brogan. Fantastic band out of the UK there. Just phenomenal. Phenomenal. Neil's been on the show before, and we just always have such a good time talking to each other. It's just like talking to a friend on the phone. It's very, very cool. And an amazing musician. Anyway, they have some cool new tracks out that they've knocked out. And, man, their album, Big Blue World, is doing just fantastic. And Girl in the Gilded Cage is all over the charts, all over the place. And just they're having so much good success, and I'm so happy for them. It's just very, very cool. I like it when my friends do well. And, you know, it gives me a good feeling. Anyhow, so I was able to sit down with Neil via Skype and talk about these new tracks, and we're going to play them for you, and just a very, very cool conversation, which we had a lot of fun. We always do. So here it is, without further ado, Fitzsimon and Brogan, November 2018. Enjoy! So, Fitzsimon and Brogan, we've got on the line with us today, Neil Fitzsimon. Neil, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Jamie, how are you?
I'm fantastic, fantastic. Now, your last album, Big Blue World, still a favorite of mine. I love it to death.
Okay.
It's been out a little bit, and
yeah,
it was very cool. I heard from you, and you have some new singles you guys have been working on, and we're going to talk about those today and play them, and very cool. Well, this is interesting. Now, have you guys changed direction and just doing singles? I know some musicians are doing that now, focusing on that. Will these all be compiled into a next EP or LP?
Yeah, they will be on an album. We've actually got a new album.
I didn't even know.
Yeah, we've got a new album. I think, well, it's not been announced, but it should be out in the spring of next year, which is The Girl Who Shouted Love at the Heart of the World, which I think we spoke before, and I stole that title from Harlan Ellison, so.
That's right.
But he's now passed away, so.
He won't yell at you. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. So we've got that, but these ones will be, I think, on another album that will be out like at the end of next year, which is, I think it's going to be called The Hipster Paradox,
nice.
And these are the tracks that we've done with Woody Woodman, see? You know, Bowie's drummer from The Spiders.
Right, right. How cool. No, how did that come about? Does he live in the neighborhood or something? Or you knew somebody? There's got to be a story for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've always been a huge Bowie fan, particularly of The Spiders, you know, what he did with Ziggy Stardust, those albums, more so than the latest stuff, even though he still made some great, you know, records after that. I really loved that, and I had a word with our record label and publisher and said I was going to try and get in touch with him, which I did. I managed to track him down. And I sent him a couple of our songs, and he agreed to play on them. Yeah, and we took it, and it's really weird. I mean, now I've spoken on the phone because we do it all online, sending the files and everything.
Right.
And I've spoken to him quite a few times, and it's quite strange, like, to speak to somebody who's been in such an iconic band with such an iconic artist as well. And yeah, he's been great. He's been so supportive of us as well. You know, he follows us, and his wife has like become a big fan of ours, which is absolutely, you know, it's just a bit unbelievable, really.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean,
yeah,
talk about meeting a an iconic yeah. figure in music. That's amazing. I agree with you on the Bowie stuff. Although I did really like Outside a lot, just because it's you know uber artsy. But the early stuff. You know, with Mark Ronson on guitar and stuff. I mean, just that was the stuff, man. That was the stuff.
As a guitar player, Mick Ronson is my hero. Really, he's my favorite guitar player of all time. And added on to that is that next year it looks like we're working with Elvis Costello's drummer, Pete Thomas.
Wow!
Yeah, he's agreed to work with us. So, and what it is, I mean, obviously they don't do it just because they love us. The record company, you know, they get a fee for doing it. But right. I mean, you've got to approach them first with the stuff. And you know, and I got an email from Pete Thomas a few weeks ago saying. I'd love to do this, but I'm off to New York now for a rehearsal with EC, which is obviously Elvis Costello, and I thought, this is mad.
Oh, yeah. And you're right in the middle of this, you know? In the thick of it. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's weird.
That's awesome, man. I'm so jealous. Yeah. I'm living vicariously through you. How cool is that? Very, very cool. Well, and it's got to just, inspire, too. Get your creative gears going and I remember when we were talking, you like to work a lot, you know, and that's good.
Yeah. We're working on new tracks now, the ones that we're most probably going to do with Pete Thomas next year. So, we're doing that. I think we won some award today from that Beat 100 chart for Best Original Song.
Wow.
For the single that's out now, That Girl in the Gilded Cage, which seems to be doing well. And the album's has picked up some great reviews as well, which has been really good.
Well, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Yeah. Girl in the Gilded Cage is a fantastic track.
Oh, thank you.
Just a girl in a gilded cage.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the best ones I heard all year last year. I would
oh,
put
thank
that
you.
Definitely in my top five, top three probably tracks of 2018, I should say.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Yeah.
I keep forgetting what year it is.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Yeah, I can't believe it's still, it's almost coming to an end as well, which is almost unbelievable.
Didn't it just start? You know, it seemed like
it's really worrying, isn't it?
Oh, man, I'm telling you. The only good thing about it here in the States is, but yeah, it's going by so quickly, but here in the States, it's making, I thought due to our political situation, it would drag on a little longer. It seemed like it was dragging on.
Yeah.
But it isn't. It's zipping by, and I'm like, okay,
oh, no.
Well, let's just full steam ahead and get this behind
yeah.
us. And
that's right.
Be,
yeah.
One of those nights you wake up the next morning and you're like, I don't remember exactly what happened. I don't want to know what happened.
it's mad, isn't it?
Let us never speak of this again.
Oh, I know. That's right. Yeah, definitely. Oh, because we spoke in June, and that
right?
just, you know, that's unbelievable. It was 5 months ago.
And it seems like, I don't know, a couple weeks or something.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. But, you know, hey, it's a good thing. And, you know, you're, man, 5 months, really. I had no idea.
Yeah, I think it was. Well, I looked, because I saw like when we spoke in the summer, whatever it was, and yeah, and it was about 5 months ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Well, I'm glad you guys are getting a lot done and whatnot. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
And the new tracks are amazing.
Oh, you heard them, yeah.
Yeah. We've got I've got all four queued up here.
Okay.
And we'll play them. We've got Bullet for Cinderella.
Oh yeah.
Lost Love of the Pixie Girl 2.
Yeah. That's mixed too. That is.
Oh,
I
will fix that. 7 Seconds of Summer.
Yeah, has that got alternate ending 3 on it?
I think it does, and I left it out that time.
Yeah,
I'm learning. I'm on board. And then we've also got The Sheltering Sky. And
yeah,
what do you think we should play first for everybody?
I'll just play it in that order if you want. I mean, I'm just going to say that Pat Collier, you know, who did Walking on Sunshine, he's mm-hmm. mixed all the tracks as well.
Oh, nice.
Very
cool. Yeah, what I wanted to say was we're going to play these in order and whatnot tonight. And
First
up will be Bullet for Cinderella. So tell us a little bit about this track.
It's a bit of a strange lyric, isn't it? I'm not too... I suppose it's about somebody, you know, like a bloke who would do anything for his girlfriend. I mean, and when he does everything for her, then she's still like, you know, as it says, she turned the gun on him right at the end of it as well. You know what I mean? So
haven't we all been there?
Exactly. Speak for experience, both of us. But I had the title for ages, and I just thought, you know, that's a really good title, and I could never really fit it into. But then I, you know, like came up with that that riff and everything to it that runs through it, and that's how it came. But yeah, that was quite a difficult one to do because it's got a lot of different parts to it. But yeah, it's turned out really well. And I say that was right up Woody Street as well. He really liked that one.
Oh, nice.
Because it's a bit weird, isn't it? And I mean, you know, he certainly played on some strength. I mean, he drummed on Life on Mars, for God's sake, you know. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, let's play it, yeah, because everybody's got to hear this. So here it is, everybody. This is Fitzsimon and Brogan's Bullet for Cinderella.
Please don't cry for him. He's not insane. You can keep the sunshine, he'll take the pouring rain. To think he believed you, God knows why. You think he won't leave you, but he's sure gonna give it a try.
He took a bullet,
Cinderella.
Then she turned the gun on him. He took a bullet,
Cinderella.
Too blind to finally see. She got him on her side. Then she turned.
Everybody, that was Bullet for Cinderella, and man, what a fantastic track that is. I like that a lot. It is a little off, odd, I should say, not off, but lyrically and whatnot, but still cool. Artsy. I like it.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Broadway in Fort Lauderdale. Rodgers and Hammerstein's The King and I, based on the 2015 Tony Award-winning production, is breathtaking and exquisite, says the New York Times. November 20th through December 2nd. Tickets at BrowardCenter.org.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you two episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are two separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another. A friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please, visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierux.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more. Including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique.com. LapothecaryUnique.com. Now, I wanted to ask you, I mean, we talked a little bit about this last time you were on the show and whatnot. You work a lot. And do you work when, are you one of those artists when the muse strikes, you have to get to work? Could be 2 a.m, or do you have a kind of a set schedule that you follow?
Yeah, I just write songs as and when, really. And I've always, I think, you know, when you first start, you're writing all the time. But now... yeah, it's just as if I get an idea or something, then I know that something's going to, you know, you get that feeling that something's going to work, and then it's just a process then of, I know if that sounds a bit methodical, not artistic, but of elimination until you until you know it works, until there's not a doubt, and then the recording process starts. But yeah, I mean, to be quite honest, I don't think myself or B are like typical musos, really, because, you know, I've worked with guitar players who say they've got to find their inspiration and dig deep and everything, and you know, I've never really been like that. I just
I'm the same way, just get the work done, get on with it, you know what I mean, I just, me, myself and Ben,
I'm sure you know from the background that you come, I've put up with so many like pains. We had a guitarist in the studio, in first record deal we ever got, our guitarist, every night at about 10 o'clock, which is not late in studio terms, used to get his guitar lead and just throw it across the studio, pack his guitar up and leave.
Oh, really?
Not a word to anybody, the producer. I mean, you know, a record company were paying, I don't know, it was a lot of money in those days, like for a studio, about 400 English pounds. So you can, and he would just say, no, that's it for the night. Goodbye. Thank you. You know, which is, yeah. I don't think that's on, but I mean, we heard some really weird stories when we were in the studio. I don't know if I told you last time about, we worked in a studio where, Chris Rea had been in there. You know Chris Rea, do you?
Right, yeah.
Done that Driving Home for Christmas and all that type of stuff. And he wouldn't come into the studio until they changed the carpets from blue to green.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Because it was getting on his nerves, and he just left, and that was it. There was all these sessions booked with the players and people like that.
He just
walked out. They didn't record it. He went off driving, and he's spent a few days driving around in his collection of vintage cars. I mean, honestly,
that's crazy. It's one of those things. There was a quote I read somewhere, but I don't, it's one of those ones you read it and you're like, you think to yourself, I don't know if this is a real quote, it's a good statement, but I don't know if a particular person actually said this. And I don't know, somebody said the Dalai Lama had said something about how time wasting, when you waste someone's time, it's a gift you can never give back. It's something you can never replace. Yeah. And again, I don't know if the Dalai Lama said that. I heard he did. But regardless, it's a good statement. Because it's so true.
Yeah. I mean, we're watching, this is in the same studio, actually, and a couple of their engineers, it was quite a big studio in London called Livingston. I don't know if it's still going now, but they were saying a couple of their engineers went out to work on Michael Jackson stuff.
Oh, really?
Which, you know, is right at the top. Yeah, and he got into the habit, Michael Jackson, of hiding behind the sofa, the settee, in the studio, and giving his orders out from behind there, but they weren't allowed to look behind there at him.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Which I can believe.
I can totally believe that. You know, it's, I don't know. I guess there's a point that you get to where it just, your reality shifts or something. I don't know. Usually it's been a pretty fun night for me getting to that point, but I've never been that bad. Can't do that anymore, though.
No, we don't. I think I told, when we were working with that producer, it was punishing hours. We were doing from like midday, 12 o'clock, till 6 the following morning.
Oh, man. That's rough.
But then we got with Pat Collier, and we were starting at 11 and finishing at about 7:30 at night, and then going to the pub for a couple of drinks, going home, and it was great, you know.
Yeah,
because I mean, I've never been so tired. This producer, who's a nice enough chap and everything, but he would just listen like to a cymbal sound for about 2 hours.
had to be right.
Yeah,
and he had to match what he was wanting to hear.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh, yeah. I think it was too much of the wacky backy, really, that was doing it to him. Yeah.
Exactly. There had to be
something. Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, it's, you know, it's that way, and it's even in my gig in the art world, it gets a little crazy sometimes. Especially usually young folks, and you know, they try real hard to be an artist. Which to me is, you're an artist if you're painting. you know, if you're working.
That's right. Yeah.
All the other stuff, you know, if you want to be a weirdo, that's fine. No one's saying you shouldn't, but.
Yeah,
I don't have time for a lot of that other stuff, but
I mean, because Woody was telling us about Bowie. I mean, he's told us a few stories about that. But he said when they were like first got together, they all lived at a place called Haddon Hall, and Bowie was renting it, and they were just sleeping rough, really. The rest of the band, Woody and Mick Ronson, were sleeping on the landing.
Right.
And they said that Bowie, this was right at the start of the Ziggy day, Bowie would come in the morning and said, right, I've written a new song, he'd play it to them, and then he would expect them to record it straight away.
Oh, yeah.
Woody said, you know, which Woody said, you know, it's hardly any time to get to know a song. And then he said, Woody said that if it took more than two or three takes, it started getting a little bit dark with him. You know, the tempers were rising.
Right.
So, I mean, but that's what, you know, that's what I think those type people do. They get in there and they get the work done, to be quite honest.
Right. Well, in my world, the reality is there's usually some money. That's the carrot on the end of the stick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I need to get this done so we can do whatever. That money usually has a job to do.
That's right. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But, you know, it's you know, people are in different places and whatnot. Crazy. Well, the next track we're going to play is, now this is a cool one too. Lost Love of Pixie Girl.
Yeah.
Now, how did this, writing this one come about?
Again, I think it's the same title. I had the title and I just thought of it one night, and I paused the TV and said to Babe, what do you think of this title? And she thought it was, you know, it's really good because it's such a weird title, you know, it's another strange title. I suppose it's about a girl's quest to find the man of her dreams, I suppose, if you want to put it like as cornerly as that. But that's what it is, and that's what she's searching for, that thing, I suppose, that everyone in reality is searching for.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, the goosebumps. Yeah. That's what they're looking for, you know.
It's, totally, yeah.
And if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about, well, you're still looking for it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, totally.
You'll know when you find it.
That's right. Yeah.
And that can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on your point of view. Usually starts out pretty good. And usually, most times, stays pretty good.
Well, is that, I don't know if you've got that saying over there that a man without a woman is only half a man, but when he's found one, he's completely finished.
Right. I understand. That's awesome. Oh, man, that's funny. That's funny. Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is.
Okay.
This is Lost Love of the Pixie Girl. Lost Love of the Pixie Girl. Very, very cool track. I like this.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
North Pole Hotline, Mrs. Claus here.
My holiday shopping list is so big, I can't wait for Black Friday.
Get to Old Navy's biggest sale of the year starting tomorrow.
Old Navy?
Beat the crowds for 50% off your entire purchase.
50% off?
Plus, this Friday only, Old Navy's famous cozy socks are just a buck in stores. Old Navy's giving $1 for every pair sold up to $1 million to Boys and Girls Clubs.
So I can do good, look good.
And get 50% off your entire purchase at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 11/21 to 11/23. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Cozy socks valid 11/23 in stores only. Limit 10.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
Now, let me ask you this, Neil. When you're writing, when you come up with a song, I mean, I imagine it varies from track to track. Is there is it a lengthy process, or does it go fairly quick? Because you're a very dynamic person, and I would assume it would go quick for you.
Yeah, it does, really. I mean, the title track on the Big Blue World album, the actual song itself, Big Blue, that took about 25 minutes because I've just got the idea and everything. Just, I mean, some take longer and I'll work on them. But right. I think as with yourself, you know, an artist, you would know, like self-editing is the right. The most important thing. You know, once the basic idea might seem good at the time, but just sit back and think about it for a while and then. You know, most of those songs that you know, like the Pixie Girl, that they've been through about 9 or 10 edits of right. Like myself, just sitting there thinking, no, that's not as good as it could be. And then, you know, as you know yourself, it's a pain, but you think, no, I've got to think, come up with something else. So, yeah, that's the way that I work, really. But definitely once I get onto an idea, then I don't leave it alone. It's like, you know, it's nagging away.
I hear you. It's the same with me.
Yeah.
I'm like a dog with a bone. It's hard to put it down, you know. And frankly, I'm not very pleasant to be around if that's happening. I have to, because all my attention's focused on that particular project and whatnot. Which, you know, you have to learn to be better, especially if you have a missus in the picture. You're going to be better than your mamas or something. Put a smile on, you know.
Well, I think I'm lucky because with B being involved in it. But, I mean, I have had that with her when she's just, like, not even properly woken up. And I will come back from, our studio room and sit on the bed with the guitar and playing this new idea to her. And I used to do that to other people in the band. I wouldn't let them rest. I would just be... But you do get, as you know, you get loads of ideas when you, like, first wake up, don't you? It's a weird
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it is strange. It's not a fallacy, is it? I mean, it's. I think that actually happens.
Well, you know, and it's. I hate to say this, and I hate to tell people this too, because they have. You know, they have ideas. Same thing. I'm sure you get this all the time too.
Yeah.
You know, here you're a rock guy, a musician. You do all this, and they have a certain idea. You know, you're.
Yeah.
Sitting around with leather jeans on and. Drinking Jack Daniels all the time. No.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but people have these ideas. And with me, being a painter, I assume they think I sit around with a beret and a striped shirt on or something. And, you know, sometimes... No, not really. But
you've been starving on the left bank.
Exactly, yes. Carry a pallet under my arm. Just whip it out whenever.
Yeah.
No, but they think the tortured artist, you know, you must paint all through the night. No, I don't like staying up late anymore. Like I said, I'm an old man. I'm turning into an old man. My brain works best if I get some good sleep and I get up early in the morning. The phone's not ringing. The dog's still asleep. Everything's just me and music and the canvas.
I agree.
Ideally, my best way to work. And,
well, I think I told you one of the producers that we worked with before, Pat Collier, he thought in the studio that we were like one of the most boring bands he'd ever worked with because we didn't drink that much. We didn't join in on any of that stuff, the drinking. And he actually said, you know what? He said, because it was called Pretty Blue Gun then, that was the original band. He said, you should market, he said, like slippers and dressing gowns. And like and cups of hot chocolate. He said, we're Pretty Blue Gun on them, he said, because he said, I've never met a band. Because one night the drummer phoned up at about 9:30 and said, would we need him tomorrow? Because he was going to bed. And this producer said, what is wrong with you?
Right.
But I mean, to be quite honest, a lot of them sat around in the studio, the first one we worked in, they were sitting around and they were drinking and getting stoned all day. And I just didn't, I mean, by association, you ended up getting stoned yourself because, you could hardly see beyond your own hand in the studio.
Right.
But no, I'm like you. I think, you know, it's like that really. We start it and we treat it like work. And we get on with it and that's it. And as you said, I can't stand recording at night and also under the influence of like drinking. Because I remember the Rolling Stones saying that they used to record a lot of great things in the night and then could work up the following day and realise that it was an absolute pile of rubbish that they'd done.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so true. And I felt bad. We the next big holiday coming up here is Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah.
Which is the big feast thing.
Yeah.
And you know, all the family, it's one of those holidays where all the family, you know, kind of like Christmas, I guess. But we had some of Danny's cousins last day. Maybe it was two Thanksgivings ago. They were in town. Yep. We live down we do all the big food thing at her parents', which is about 2 blocks away. And, but we have a guest room, so we, you know, had an extra bed. So these particular people got to stay at our place, and the fellow was very excited about it. He's like, oh man, we're going to drink and you're going to paint and it'll just be so bohemian. And I'm like, no, I don't drink when I work.
No.
Can't do it, man. You know?
Yeah.
If I was your doctor, if I was taking your spleen out, you wouldn't want me drunk, you know? Yeah. And it's,
yeah.
And it's usually the bulk of my work is portrait work, so it has to be, you know, people have to look right, you know, it can't be off. And he kind of thought the same thing as your ex producer there was just so boring, you know, just.
I think that thing. I mean that, you know, that thing that built up in the 1960s. I mean, and that's why a lot of them didn't last the course, did they? I mean, it was. You know what I mean? Like the age of 27 was was the age when most of them, you know, departed this mortal coil, really. You know, and I think that's most probably what caused it. You know,
exactly. It's hard to get things. You know, and it's interesting. I've had younger people, you know, say, "Oh, well, doesn't that unleash your creativity? You know, doing a bunch of drugs or this or that, and drinking." I'm like. No, it wastes a lot of my time, I've learned. And take it from somebody who's been there.
That's right.
Just wastes time. And I wish I had that time back a lot of times, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just one of them things. But, you know, you seem to be, you know, because you've been doing this a while. This isn't like your third year out doing music.
A certain age now, like, you know, coming into like late 30s and everything, so.
Oh yeah, and you've you know, this is a guy, ladies and gentlemen, Neil hangs out with, you know, iconic people. it's amazing, you know.
Yeah, because with Bee's mum, it's I absolutely wind her up about that, you know what I mean? I just, you know, if she comes to stay with us, which she will do in a few days next week sometime, I just say, you know, I can't speak to you because I'm a friend to the stars, so, you know, please address, you know, which is an absolute joke, because I've never been like that. But it's a weird one getting to those people. And I found that at the top of their profession, you know, like Pat Colley and Woody, and we've spoken to Pete Thomas and everybody else we've met. Like, I've met a couple of, like, Katrina and the Waves and everything, you know. They're really nice people. They've got no axe to grind and everything like that, and they're really nice. It's the least talented ones that are the ones that really you've got to watch out for on the way up. They are the ones that you've got to get past to get to those who know what they're doing.
Absolutely. It was interesting when I first started getting a little, this was years ago, a million years ago, no, not that long, but seems like it.
Yeah.
When I started getting a little bit of success and whatnot under my belt,
there was
a little time period there, I'd say a couple months, where I did not handle it well.
Yeah.
I was making some money, thought I was real cool, and turned into an ass, really, if I'm honest about it, and I look back at it. And a good friend of mine, a musician friend of mine, who's, you know, he's been around forever. He was an original punk rocker back in the 70s, you know.
Okay,
he's of that
period. Right, yeah.
And we were hanging out one time in L.A., and he got kind of annoyed with me. And his wife called me the next day, and she said, you know, Jamie, I don't want to say his name, but he's kind of upset because he thinks you're a really cool person, and you're turning into one of those types of people that you don't want to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And it literally was a wake-up call to me. And I was embarrassed. And I sat down for the day and just emotionally and mentally beat myself up for being such a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, and changed my ways, and everything worked out fine. But thank God I got that call, you know. And
Because
you don't want to be, you know, do you know who I am? One of those types of...
I mean, I don't know if you found this as well, Jen, when you said, you know, you started having a bit of success and you were getting, like, recognition for what you did. Before we got our first record deal, I had friends in other groups in the area where I lived who said, oh, you should get a deal. You're really good. You know, I could see you working and doing this. But when we got the deal, they turned.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? It was like, who do you think you are? You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely.
It was really weird. We became then, because we'd moved out of that, like, group of people who were striving to get it. And then as soon as you sign a record deal and they find out, you know, like, you're in a studio and everything and doing stuff and everything. Oh, it was amazing. It was like, oh, well, you know.
Right.
I prefer the other. Well, and I remember I played it to one person, again, like you, I won't name. I played him some of our, like, rough mixes, and he said, I prefer the other stuff before he got signed.
Right. They're right. Jealous.
Yeah.
And that happens.
It happens.
And people, I don't think people that are outside the biz, they're not in the biz.
You know,
fans and listeners and the audience, we'll call them.
Yeah.
Of whatever, they don't realize that because they don't see it. It's not. They think, you know, all your friends should be happy for you. You find out who your real friends are.
And then when
you make a little money. What's terrible, man? Oh,
yeah,
this doesn't happen to me anymore because I've been through it and I kind of weeded all those people out.
Yeah, that's
is
the
when they the ones that come to you wanting loans, can you do this for me? Can you do that? And it's just like, I don't mind trying to help somebody, but...
Yeah, I was asked to, if I wanted to play guitar on this, like, I'm going to be horrible here. It's like a bunch of no-hopers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they were doing me a favor.
Right.
You know, I don't mind doing that, but it's just like, you know, it was like, you know, it's almost like we're going to let you play on our stuff. I thought, oh my God, you know, thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
And another thing, I don't know if you found this as well, Jamie, is that is what you were saying. Before I ever got signed, we played some stuff to some of our friends, or one of my friends, but a close friend, and he was almost like smirking at what we were doing. And then I just got so fed up with it after a couple of times this happened. I said, who do you think these people are that are in these bands? I said, they weren't sent down like on a golden staircase from heaven. I said, they're just normal blokes like me and you. I said, Bowie, I'm, as you were saying, when Bowie was in the studio, he didn't stand in full dress makeup.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They most probably were sitting around like everybody else in jeans and everything, and like and having a cup of tea and a fag and everything. And it's just, you know, that it really annoys, as you were saying, you know, they got this view that it's some like deity that, mm-hmm. you know, that's in the studio. But it's just like normal. It's I won't say everyday blokes, but it's, you know, they're grounded, and it's just, yeah, I find that strange.
Oh, and it's very true. And the interesting thing that a lot of people probably don't realize is when they don't have to be on, when they're not working, they don't want to be working. You know, I mean, how many times have we known, you know, like a chef or a waitress or so, you know, the last thing they want to do when they get home is, you know, be cooking or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally. You know?
I want to watch Storage Wars and see what's in that safe. No, I'm...
Well, that's it. Myself and B, we are like tele addicts.
We really are.
I mean, because we're doing this like full time now, so that's given us like the thing of being able to sit up for hours watching TV, watching box sets.
Mm-hmm.
We just got through Mad Men.
And that's a long one. That's, what was that, six seasons, something like that? Yeah.
It's seven seasons. It was 92 episodes.
Oh, yeah. We finished a lot of those. I remember Breaking Bad. Man, that took us like a month.
Oh, I love that. We've done that twice.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. Brilliant. Yeah.
Mad Men. Now, see, Danny got a little testy at Mad. Because Mad Men's kind of, and I don't want to sound chauvinistic, but it's set in a time period.
Oh yeah,
that was chauvinistic, you know. And so, if you're watching with your girl, she might get a little, you know.
Yeah.
And old Don Draper kind of did him raw. He was real good at doing
him
wrong.
Oh my god, he was terrible. Yeah. He had such a nerve. Him and that Roger Sterling, you know, the grey head. You know, if they were wronged by a woman, they like went mad. But they were absolutely just destroying people's lives, left, and center. But, you know, I'm sad to say, I'm not just saying this because, you know, you're from the USA. We can't do drama like that in this country anymore. We can't do it. Forget it. We a lot of our TV series are absolute rubbish. I'm not kidding you.
We have a lot of those here, too.
Well, I know you do. But, I mean, the best of your stuff, you know, we get something here that we think is quite good and everything, and people go mad about it, but it's nothing can hold... I mean, especially like Breaking Bad, and we're watching Better Call Saul now as well, the spin-off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. And it's, you know, and the whole concept of Breaking Bad is, you know, because our healthcare system is so screwed in this country, you know.
Yeah.
The guy has to turn to this life because, you know, to save his life.
I know. Yeah, that's the thing you see in this country that I find it unbelievable because here you can get the best treatment wherever you go for nothing.
Right. Yeah, you know.
But he had to do that, as you said, to get the higher grade of treatment to survive. His family, but I mean, what I loved about that, you never knew what was coming in that program, did you?
Yeah, it was crazy. And then, you know, when they hooked up with that guy with the chickens chain.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man, that was a bad dude.
Gustavo Fring. Yeah.
And he didn't come off at first when he... I'm sorry, folks, we're getting so far afield.
Oh, yeah.
but me and Neil do this, you know. Yep. But yeah, it is. Danny and I are the same way, though. We watch a lot of television because we have time to, and it's cheap entertainment, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
It is... I used to be a clubber. I'm too old to be doing that, you know.
we used to do all that. Yeah, we did all that.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I'm at the age. The only good somebody my age in a club should own the club. You know. That's,
yeah. yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and if you don't want to be my age out there wolfing around 22-year-old girls.
When I was that age, I used to see people doing that, and it was...
yeah, you don't want to be that guy.
Oh, it was really sad, wasn't it? Oh, it was awful. It used to send, like, a chill through me.
Totally.
You'd see them. Yeah.
We got to find somebody before that happens.
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, speaking of interesting turns and whatnot... tell us a little bit about the next song, 7 Seconds of Summer.
Yeah.
This past summer was about 7 months long.
Yeah. Here we had our best summer since 1976, apparently.
Oh,
it was,
cool.
It was baking hot here, yeah, you know, and then being English, we moaned about it after a week, you know, including me. You know, I got up one morning and said, oh, this weather's ridiculous, you know, this is all, but yeah, that really is about a summer romance, and that's how long it takes, 7 seconds and it's gone.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Said goodbye to spite his face. Now Saturday night is the loneliest place. He started to hide under the darkest cloud, where love and hope are not allowed. And that's how it started. He wished you'd never parted. It's just another night that's better to the book of every little step that they took, every little kiss and every precious smile in the 7 seconds of summer.
Yet today it almost seems just another distant surreal dream, just a soft story best forgotten. Another little mommy's boy gone, slightly rotten. He puts on a brave face, carries around the heartache, and that's the cross he's gonna have to bear.
And then he tried to write the book of every little step that they took, and every little kiss and every precious smile in the 7 seconds of summer. It's just another night that's better to forget. And then he tried to write the book of every little step that they took, every little kiss and every precious smile in the 7 seconds of summer. And then of every little step that they took, every little kiss and every precious smile in the 7 seconds of
I remember those days too. When you're a youngster too, you meet them and you meet that gal and she's just blood and everything's great. And then
I know.
There you go.
you got to do it. It's imperative that you do things like that. It's all part of it, isn't it? It's the growing up thing, and it's brilliant. So I think it's brilliant. It's been a source of inspiration and like material for me for years, so I keep on tapping into it.
Right. Well, and you know, and that's nothing seems as intense as those early relationships.
No.
You know, not saying, I don't want to say the relationships I had, the mature relationships I've experienced personally, were any less fun or anything like that. But man, when you're a youngster and oh, I did some stupid stuff for girls. I look back and I can't even remember their names now. But it was so big.
I mean, I think about it. I was thinking about this the other day. When I was doing one of these songs, is that when you think about it, if you like take from the ages of say like 14, like up to 20, and that seems an eternity at that age, doesn't it? Yeah. That is such a big you know, a journey, I suppose you could say. But if you think back now, what were we, 2018? If you think back to 2012, well, yeah, all right, it was 6 years. It's nothing like it was that time span then. You know what I mean? I suppose it's because you're going from a boy into a man, really.
Right.
But it's just like, you know, friends that you've got, you know, friends that I had 6 years ago, still got now. But friends that I had from 14 to 20, a lot of them are gone by the time I was 20.
Oh, very true. Very true.
I
probably have from my teen years, well, like good friends that I talked to one this morning, and I didn't know he was going through a divorce. He told me about that, and I was like just floored. But I have maybe 6 or 7, and I think that's being generous. It's probably less than that of people I went to high school with and stuff. I guess, you know, different paths and everything. A lot of the people I went to school with, I don't know what happened, man, but they just turned into, if it was in the water or what, but man, they just, I'm like, you guys are like the dad in the Twisted Sister videos now. What happened? Yeah. You know, you're just a jerk.
Yeah. And it's, and when you say, you know, when you see them on Facebook as well, sometimes, sometimes I will look at it and I will say, oh my God. Then I'll look at B and I say, I don't look like this, do I? For God's sake, tell me I don't look like
this. It's so true. It is so true.
But they seem to revel in it, don't they? They seem to revel in their normalcy, that they're the Honest Joe soap who goes out every day and everything. And I think, you know, like yourself, we wanted a bit more than that, and thank God it happened.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Welcome to the Total Wireless Store, where total confidence awaits.
Music powers my morning runs, but data overages slow me down.
Don't worry. You got this with the Total Wireless Store. Just bring your number and get 10 gigs of lightning-fast 4G LTE data with unlimited talk and text for $40 a month.
I'd run to the Total Wireless Store right now for that deal, if I wasn't already here.
Data girl.
Discover the Total Wireless Stores and get total confidence. The latest phones, the best network, all at great prices. Excludes TracFone Wireless Inc. brand sports. $40 plan must remain active to keep bonus data after 12/31/18. Terms at stores.totalwireless.com.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at MBMMusicLLC.com. That's MBMMusicLLC.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of historical, cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks. You know, the interesting thing when I was a teenager is, man, I used to get all the New Music Expresses that were, you know,
oh, yeah,
2 months behind because it took that long for them to get over to the States. But
yeah,
I read those like a Bible, and I just...
Oh, I did.
My plan when I was going to turn, like, when I grew up, when I was like 20 or something, I'm like, I got to get to London, man. That's where everything's happening. It's just, you know, and I remember being like 30 and finally getting to London. And it was cool. It was very cool.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like I had imagined. Same thing with Los Angeles. Same thing with New York. You know. First time I went to L.A., I thought people would be walking around carrying pieces of set. And, you know, all this movie stuff would be going.
Yeah, the back lot, yeah.
None of that was happening.
No, that's right. Yeah. Now, London's a tough environment. I mean, because, you know, we've moved out of there.
Right.
London.
You guys are in the Isle of Man, right?
The Isle of Wight.
Isle of Wight, that's what it is.
Yeah, which is like in between the English coast and like France we face from here. So yeah, we did our stint in London, and that was enough. It's really interesting and everything. I think you find, but I think the thing you find that we found, we went more to London, out in London to different things when we didn't live there. But when we lived there, we never went out.
Right. Well, it's spendy. It's expensive.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. How much it was. Myself and Bea took out one of her cousins one night for a drink, him and another bloke, and we said, we'll treat you. We had no change. Over £100 it cost us.
Crazy. I'm telling you, in my travels, I'd say the most London is definitely the most expensive city, maybe followed by Paris and then Hong Kong. Tokyo wasn't that bad. I thought Tokyo was going to be like London, like super. Maybe I just did cheap stuff, but it wasn't that bad for me. But man, London is.
Oh, it is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is not. And that's what I was. Yeah. You know, I remember being in London, and I'm out somewhere at a club, supper club or something, and I was thinking to myself, I'm like, man, how did all the punk rockers I read about in the New Music Express when I was in high school were, you know, squatting places and stuff.
Cause well, the sad thing about
cigarettes
that
was expensive, you know.
Because the sad thing about it is because I don't know if you knew that Pat Collier was in a band called The Vibrators, who were out at the same time, like the Pistols. He played the 100 Club with them and everything, I think, Pat. A lot of those punks, you know, came from middle class families.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
A lot of them did. There were very few who were actually, I think, the Sex Pistols definitely came from a real typical North London estate, like flats background. But there were others there who were playing at it.
Right.
Really. I mean, you know, not strictly punk, but I mean, I'm a huge fan of Elvis Costello. I love Elvis Costello. But his father was the lead singer in a big band orchestra tree. And Costello, as a boy, had been to some of the Beatles sessions that they did. Not in the studio, but they used to do they used to call it Saturday Club, apparently, back in the 60s, this thing. And he went to that. I mean, that wasn't like what every normal 9 or 10-year-old was doing. So,
right.
I think the punk thing was worn by quite a few of them to get their foot in the door, and then they shut it in the faces of the others behind them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm destroying myths here, aren't I?
Well, it's, you know, and it's so true. It's in the States, especially, I would say in the last 20 years, that that has happened with so many in the hip-hop community. You know, all these guys play at being, you know, oh, we're from the streets and all this. And Chris Rock had a great bit that when I saw him, he had this bit where he's like, I don't know any thugs with an agent or a PR person, you know.
Oh, right, yeah. I like him. I think he's really good.
Yeah, and it's so true because you meet these people and they're like, you know, and you're just thinking to yourself, yeah, okay. Oh. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know if you ever watched the Sopranos. Going back to the TV.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We've done that one twice. But I love that episode where the rapper wanted to have a cap put in him so that he would be more street. And I think it was Paulie did it outside this building. He shot him in the backside, which is not a cool injury, is it?
No.
He was devastated. He got the pain of the wound, but he'd been shot in a place that he could never talk about.
Right, exactly. That was a funny episode. Oh,
that was great.
God.
Yeah, and the Pine Barrens was my favourite.
Oh, yeah.
I love that one.
Such another great series.
Oh, brilliant. Fantastic, yeah.
It's you know, and that happens. And, you know, the thing is you know, we've seen it. We've been through all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now you see it, and it's interesting. I have some goth kids on my Facebook page, and they're always posting this new. You know, it was really great. I wore all white to the goth club, and I'm like, yeah. I think the first time I saw that was 1983.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah, totally.
I've seen it about 14 times since. But
yeah,
you know, it's just one of them things, you know.
I think every generation thinks they're the first to do everything, don't they?
Oh, and they always do. And it was, man, I remember one time I gave myself a mohawk, and it was so terrible because my hair is black. It's naturally black, and so no sun gets in there. And so the skin underneath the black hair, it's kind of got a green tint to it. I didn't know. It was just terrible, and I had to steal my sister's makeup and put it on the side of my head to try to look. It was just one of those 15-year-old adventures.
Yeah, things that you do. Yeah.
And I remember I was sitting there with my hair, and my father came home from work, and he looked at me, and you know, I knew I was going to get, you know, some kind of comment or something. And
yeah.
I was never expecting this. He goes, oh, you've entered your rebellious phase. I remember when I entered mine. And I'm just like, that was not the thing. That was the worst thing he could have said to me.
You know? That's right. I'll let you go through this on your own. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, the last track, and see, folks, we are getting back to the music. Me and Neil have such a good time when we talk. We're just brothers from different mothers or something.
That's right, totally.
It's so cool, kindred spirits. But the next track is the Sheltering Sky. Now, when this one is this another one where you had because these are all such great titles. You had the title and then did the music and lyrics after.
I stole that from a book called The Sheltering Sky, which I've always thought is a great title, that, and it can mean so many things.
Mm-hmm.
But that one, especially like the opening verse, is about a friend of mine who actually passed away from leukemia when he was 28.
Mm.
And I'll tell you now, it's always those people. He was the most full of life person I've ever met, and he got struck down by that. And he was somebody that I grew up with, as I was saying, like from when I was a 14-year-old, we'd played football together, gone on holidays. And the big joke with him was that he said once that his mum said that he looked like Blue Boy from the High Chaparral, which we laughed about. All of us. I don't know if you ever met. Did you get that series in the States?
No, yeah,
it's a classic one, isn't it? Well, after that, we always used to call him Blue Boy, which he used to take in good heart, and that's actually mentioned in the first verse of this song.
Fantastic.
But I thought I'd do that, and I think it really is that you know, all of us live with that sense of loss in a way, really. And it's just that he's found a better place. I don't normally write songs like that, but I thought, yeah, I want to do this one.
Wow, it's fantastic. Fantastic. Here it is, folks. Fitzsimon and Brogan, The Sheltering Sky.
The last little sunset descends in heaven, while all of us use love as weapons. Little boy blue left without a trace, he finally found a better place, somewhere that he called home, where no one is alone. Take my sheltering sky, you and I, beneath the sheltering sky. Do you recall on that summer's day when we were sure love would go? Faith in me, two hearts entwined. Take my hand, there'll be no need to cry. We'll walk hand in hand beneath the sheltering sky. You and I, beneath the sheltering sky.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was The Sheltering Sky, Fitzsimon and Brogan. Oh my gosh. I can't believe that the time has passed by so quickly. Man, we're actually in what we call overtime, so we have to wrap things up so everything will fit. But very, very cool. Man, I like that track. Very, very cool. This is fun. I always have so much fun talking to you, Neil.
Oh, fine. Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I will...
All right, then.
I'll let you get back to your evening, and
okay.
Best to the missus and everything for letting us steal
thanks,
you away.
Jamie.
And
yeah,
cool. I'll talk
all
to
right,
you
then,
soon.
Jamie. All right, speak soon, Jamie. Bye.
Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.